If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 1. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, but beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his gods. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithraeth, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah." I want to preach tonight for just a little while. It's got to be my help on this talk. When God promises, do you know when God makes a promise, praise God, you can write it down, you can pen it down, you can be assured of it, praise God, just as sure as He promises something, it will come to pass. God's never made a promise that He wouldn't keep. And when He promises us, praise God, that He'll save us and our household, praise God, He'll keep His promise. But we just have to be believers to believe and trust in Him, praise God, they'll do what He promised He'll do. We can see this here in the book of Ezra as we begin to look at this. And the Bible said this is the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. He comes in, he conquers, and he takes over, amen, this nation. Takes it out of the hands of the Babylonian kings. Praise God, this Cyrus, the king of Persia, praise God. And he becomes king over all these countries, all these nations, all these places over there in the Middle East, and power is given to him. But the Bible tells us here, in just a few brief words, how God allowed this to come to pass. He said that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. So Jeremiah is telling this before it ever happened. Jeremiah is preaching this. Now we see God as he begins to use this King Cyrus. He uses Cyrus. He uses Darius. He uses Artaxerxes. We see him using so many of these Gentile kings in so many different ways. But he does it all for his glory. I'm glad that God today, he's still going to get glory, amen, in this old world which we live. Even though we don't think about a whole lot, praise God, everything that happens happens for the glory of God. Amen. When it's all boiled out, it all comes down to where the rubber meets the road, praise God, God's going to get glory. Yeah. Amen. Why? Because He's God, and that's just what He does. Amen. He gets glory out of what He does. Amen. So you see what happens before this ever comes to pass. We see it. Jeremiah telling this, Jeremiah prophesying this, and we see it begin to happen. If you want to look at that, you will look at Jeremiah tonight. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25 and verse 1. The Bible said, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon." If we skip on down to verse 12, it said, "It shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans and will make it perpetual desolations. Amen. He said, there's just going to be an emptiness there. Praise God. God says, I'm not going to forget what they've done. I'm going to remember what they've done. And I'll make you a promise that they'll have to answer for what they've done. We may live in this world. We think people get by with a whole lot of stuff. I want to say, let's show you. You know, they don't get by with nothing. You don't get by with nothing. God knows exactly what we do. He knows what we say, what we think, how we act and react, praise God. And we'll stand and give an account for all that one day. In order to make us pillar our head at night and say, Lord, how can I be a little better tomorrow? I told you, that's what I do all the time. I said, Lord, I done okay today. But I realize these times in my day, in this good day that you give me, but my time in my day wasn't as good as they could have been. And Lord, I want you to help me do just a little bit better tomorrow. But we see it predicted here, praise God. This is a promise of God that's going to come to pass. Amen. If you go on over to chapter 29 and verse 10. Chapter 29 and verse 10 of Jeremiah. He said, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word, amen, toward you, in causing you to return to this place. Amen? Now watch what he says. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Amen? Isn't that what God says? Didn't he say, if my people which call my name will humble themselves and pray? Amen. Yeah. Praise God. He said, I'll hear if you pray. God, when my people humble themselves, pray. He didn't say, oh, lost sinners. He said, oh, lost sinners, pray to get saved. Amen. Right. Oh, lost sinners, the only prayer they can pray, God, please save me and a sinner. But he hears those that's called by his name. He hears them, praise God, and he answers their prayers. Verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. How do you find God? When you get to searching for him and searching with all your heart. Amen. And when you do that, you will find him. Amen. You'll come upon him, praise God. You'll find him because he'll come where you are and he'll show himself, praise God, in a big way. Why? Because that's what God promised that he would do. Amen. When God promises, he'll keep his promise. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah, the prophet, he's prophesying this years before it ever happened, praise God, saying that it would happen. And it does. Bless his holy name. Thank God. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 7. Jeremiah 33 and verse 7. He said, I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captive Israel to return and will build them as at the first. Amen. He said, I'm going to cause the captivity of Israel to return and Judah to return and build them as at first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity. Ain't you glad God does that? Amen. That's what Brother Rex talked about. Praise God a while ago. We get it. We get in the Lord's hand. Praise God. He cleanses us from all iniquity. Amen. Amen. He cleanses, he washes us in his blood and cleanses us. Amen. That we might be clean. And he said, when we're clean in him, glory be God, he said, wherever went clean. Amen. We get to a place, there's no darkness, there's no nastiness in us, praise God, because he cleanses us and he pardons us, amen, from our sins. He said, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I have procured unto it. Amen. He said, God's so good, praise God, and God's going to be so good to them. Amen. And it's going to get out on them. Amen. I want to say, church, when God begins to be good to you, he begins to bless you, it'll get out on you. We can't contain it, and we should never want to. We get born again as a child of God. Amen. We ought to want to tell it everywhere we go. Amen. It makes a difference because God has prospered us. He said, go verse 10, says, thus saith the Lord, again, there shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate without man, and without beasts, even the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, that are desolate without man and without inhabitant and without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Amen. So you see how God's a playing this thing out. He goes on and says, thus saith the Lord of hosts again in this place, which is desolate without man, without beast. And in all the cities where thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. But now watch this, verse 13. In the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the vale and the cities of the south and in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have, watch this, promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. God says, I promise, praise God, and I'll bring it to pass. Glory be to God. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. Just sure as He wrote it down, penned it by the prophets and God of the ages, praise the Lord, you can trust God that if He makes you a promise, He'll see it to fulfillment. Amen. Praise God. That's just what He does. Amen. That's what God did. Jeremiah prophesied what was going to happen years before it ever happened. Amen. And then he called this King Cyrus that he might come along and be the fulfillment of that promise. Amen. So Cyrus loads up and he said, you know what? He said, the Lord has stirred up something in his heart. The Lord made known something to him. Praise God. Now this is a king that had lots of gods. They believed the Medes and the Persians, they had lots of gods that they worshipped. But he said the Lord, amen, capital L-O-R-D, God Jehovah, praise God. Amen. The Lord Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom. And put it also in writing. Now, you know in the history of the Medes and the Persians that once a king made a writing, a proclamation, and he sealed it with that with his ring, praise God, that law could never be changed. Amen. So God used this Gentile king, praise God. The Lord, God, Jehovah, stirred his heart, praise God. God needed to make a proclamation that somebody needed to go back to Jerusalem. Somebody needed to build a sanctuary. Somebody needed to occupy that sanctuary. And somebody needed to fulfill the scripture that Jeremiah had told about so long ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. When God makes a promise, bless God, you can trust it, praise God, to be absolute promise that will be fulfilled. Praise God. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth and hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Amen. Praise God. He said, the Lord God of glory, he said, he's charged me, praise God, to build him a house. The Lord God, Jehovah. Amen. There's that L-O-R, capital L-O-R-D again. The Lord God, amen, praise God. He said, who is there among you? Now he says this, he makes this proclamation and he puts it out there. And he says, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah. And build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is, I like this part, He is the God. Amen. Can you imagine a king that's got all these people that's worshiping all these different little G gods? And he says, you know what? Hey, you folks that's trusting in the big G God. He said, hey, how many of you want to go up, praise God, and build Him a house? Amen. Can you see the excitement? Can you imagine, praise God, they they turn out by, I mean, there you're talking about by this time, they probably millions of Jews living in Babylon, but they was hundreds of thousands taken out. By this time, they've multiplied and they've grown. They've taken all the things of Babylon, all the riches of Babylon. They might have been at their disposal for years, for 70 long years, and all of a sudden he says, hey, how many of you want to come out? But you know what the sad part is? They wasn't a whole lot of them that was ready to hit the road. Amen. Praise God. The Lord may be calling today. He said, how many's ready to come out? Lord? And there's a whole lot of people say, well, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to die. Amen. Praise the Lord. Wait, maybe you can. Maybe you get out here in the rapture. Praise the Lord. Maybe we all go together, Lord, but wouldn't that be nice? But praise God, in order to get out, most of us going to go by way of the grave. Amen. There'll come a day we'll quit breathing. We'll give up the ghost. We'll go out of here, praise God. But that next breath we take will be in heaven. Amen. Bless His holy name. We can see the Lord, praise God. We'll be there with Him. But He says, His God be with Him and let Him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build a house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Amen. So He says, listen, said Jeremiah prophesied this will take place. He said, who wants to go? So we see at least 45 years before they ever went into captivity, that Jeremiah prophesied, said this is what's going to happen. But after 70 years, you're going to come out. So we know that over a time span of at least 70 years, God is a promise-keeping God. But I got to look at this the other day, and I want to say it goes back farther than that. In the time of Isaiah was writing. And Brother Rex, he was writing 200 years before this ever happened. And he says this, if you want to look at this, amen, before the captivity of Israel, Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah chapter 44, he says this in verse 28. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 28. And he said, and that saith of Cyrus, now he's talking about God, how God is that Redeemer that brings people out. And he said, that thus saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. So he's putting Cyrus out there as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's a redeemer, he's a deliverer, praise God. He's establishing a firm foundation. Praise the Lord. You say, who can do that? God can do that. Amen. He can take you and me, praise God, and make us a fit vessel to carry the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. To tell some old sinner, praise God, that they need to be saved. Chapter 45, verse 1. He said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue new nations before him. That's what Rex was talking about a while ago. He said, I got Cyrus by the hand, praise God, and I just let him alone. And he says, now you can just see his, but Cyrus, King Cyrus, just like a little kid. The Lord said, I'm dragging him along. He said, I got him by hand, and I'm going before him, and I'm subduing these nations before him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I'm subduing these nations for him, praise God. I'm going for him. He said, it's God Almighty that's making the difference. Amen. Amen. He said, to subdue nation before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leave gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, I will make the crooked places straight, I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Amen. He said, those places that you couldn't get through, praise God, he said, I can. Amen. He said, I'll open it up, praise God. We think we can't get through to these people. Our loved one that's lost and on their way to the devil's hell. I will say we can't, but God can. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He said, he could. He can open these things. He can open up heart. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hide and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. You see, some people say, well, you know what? Well, Osiris must have got right with God. Because said that he knew that the God spoke to him and he began to do these things. And God says, no, I got him by the hand. I took him along, praise God. I moved nations. I moved things. I cut things down. I cut things asunder, praise God. And I set him up, but he knew me not. Amen. He knew me not. Thou hast not known me. I'm afraid there's a whole lot of our folks today that don't know God. Amen. They don't know. They know him in their head, but they don't know him in their heart. Had a fellow tell me the other day, I was trying to witness to him. He said, well, preacher, I know who Jesus is. Amen. I guess he thought that would impress me. I said, yeah, the demons of hell know who he is and tremble. But they're still going to hell. Amen. I said, you don't got to know who he is. You got to know him in your heart. You got to receive him as you say what he did on Calvary, the blood he shed. Amen. You get the pleading of blood. That's the holy name. He goes on, verse 5 says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I gird thee, though thou hast not known me. He said, I've took you, I've kept you, I've dressed you up, praise God, and down said, I'm even giving you somewhere to go. Bless the Lord. He said, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Amen. He said, well, wait a minute, preach, what do you mean? He said, the wretchedness, the wickedness, the vileness of this world, praise God. God says, I allow that to happen. Amen. Praise God. But he said, I am God and I overcome all that stuff. How do you do it? Through Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, lifting up the name of a Savior. Glory be to God. Through trials and tribulations, things we face in this world, just shout the victory and go on. Amen. Because God lays all this out here for us to see. Praise God. And he goes on in verse 13. He said, I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. In other words, God says, I picked him up, and I pointed him in the right direction. Amen. Kind of like when God saves us. He picks us up, he cleans us up, and he points us in the right direction. Amen. Now, him being God, he's gracious. And love it. And he don't treat us like robots, stick a program in where we have to, you know, keep going the right way. But he picks us up, he cleans us up, praise God, and he points us the right direction. And it's up to you and I, praise God, to keep going in the right direction. Amen. It's called accountability. Amen. I had a fellow tell me a while back, and this is what he told me. He said, I was talking to him because he was talking about where he'd been going to church and said he'd been there 3 or 4 years. And I asked him, have you thought about joining that church? He said, oh, I love it. He said, I love that. Have you thought about joining? If you love it, if you're going there, you're being a help, praise God. It's being a help to you. You need to join. You know what he told me? He said, no, preacher, said, I ain't going to join no church. I said, well, why, if you're enjoying it and they're helping you, you're helping them, why wouldn't you join and become a part of it? You know what he told me? He said, I don't want to be held accountable. He said, if I join that church, then they'll start holding me accountable. So I said, well, what are you doing that you need to be held accountable? Amen. And I said, if that pastor loves you enough to hold you, that he'll hold you accountable if you become a member, then praise God, I've joined today. If he can help me, praise, and hold me accountable to a holy God. Amen. We ought to hold ourselves accountable. But that's the logic that people have in their minds today. God says, I'll raise you up, I'll point you the right direction, I'll help you go that way, but you gotta, amen. He said, I'll hold you accountable. But he said, I'll not join church because I don't want to be held accountable. I believe we've honestly, since I've been in this church, if everybody that had come to this church for a while was still here, we'd have this expanded 2 times. Amen. But you know why a lot of them haven't come, are gone? I mean, you can't find them with a search warrant. Because if they miss a couple of Sundays, Pastor Jeff be knocking on their door. Amen? Are you okay? I'll be calling up, hey, are you all right? We miss you Sunday. Our last couple said, we miss you. Are you all right? Amen? And they, some of them just got tired of that. They didn't want to be held accountable, praise God. So they just hit the road. Amen. And they pulled the curtain down behind them. You can't even find them. Amen. But it's where we're at. Amen. I want to be held accountable. Because one day I'm going to stand before a thrice holy God and give an account of myself. And praise God, if my brothers and sisters love me enough to see something in me that needs to be a help, and you take your book, holy book, and show me, praise God, I'll start on the road to conformity. Amen. I can conform to that. Praise God. But God said, I took him, I raised him up. In righteousness, I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. Amen. And he shall let go my captives. Not for price, nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, why is he going to do it? Why would Cyrus do what he did? Because God told him to. Amen. He wasn't a saint. He wasn't a God follower, praise God. But he listened, he heard God, and he had to do what God told him. Amen. And God picked him up, he headed him in the direction you want him to go. He said, this is what I want you to do. I believe we've got politicians in Washington right now that God's wanting to deal with their, God's dealing with their heart, trying to push them, trying to point them in the right direction, and they just won't go. Amen? They just won't. There's enough stuff happened here in the last 2 months. There's enough God been mentioned. Amen. God is trying to get our minds back. Get us. I mean, but the whole world has gone stupid, and God's trying to get our minds back on the Word of God and show us, praise God, that there is a God. He's alive and well. He wants to lift up America one more time. Praise God. Point us in the right direction and help us to go that way. Amen. We ought to take, praise God, when you see these politicians, you say, well, preacher, I don't believe that man or that person, I don't believe they're saved. They may not be. But praise God, if God's putting the Word of God in their heart, the Bible said it can't go out void. But it'll find a place, praise God. It may not find a place in them, but it'll find a place somewhere. And boy, we ought to pray, God, please help them to stand upon the truth of the Word. Amen. To take off in a direction, praise God, that America needs to go. As God begins to lift them up, as He begins to point them, praise God, help them to go in the way God would have them to go. Bless His holy name. Glory to God. He said, don't do it for price. Don't do it for reward. See, that's why we can't think alike. Got too many people out there, Brother Lynn, that's saying, well, what's in it for me? What do I get? Amen. You want me to tell you what you get from serving the Lord, doing what God tells you to do? Praise God, you get a place in glory and you'll get a reward someday. Amen. You get the joy in your heart of serving a holy God. Praise His holy name. Bless Him all the way to the house. Praise God. But we see Isaiah 200 years before this ever happened. Amen. Isaiah predicted that it would happen. Amen. He was talking about Cyrus, that God would raise up and would point him in that direction. We see another young man that God used way before this ever happened. And God's promises in the book of Daniel chapter 2. In the book of Daniel chapter 2. Remember King Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream, and he called all the wise men and the soothsayers, the Chaldeans and the astrologers and the magicians. And he said, yeah, he said, I want you to tell me the dream and the interpretation thereof. Amen. And they said, hey, listen, King said, you're asking too big a thing. Just paraphrasing here. So ain't a man in this country that could do all that. There's nobody that could do that. He said, well, if there's none of you can, he said, I don't need you anyway. He told him, take all of them and kill them. Take them out and get rid of them. Daniel called him out there, and in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, it was a rare thing that the king requires. There is none other that can show it before king except the gods, little g gods, which dwell in dwellings not with flesh. For this call, king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered the council with counsel and with wisdom of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the captain's king, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in, desired the king that he would give him time, he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made known the thing unto Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, his companions. Those was his buddies that come out with him when he took in captivity, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They got together and had a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Amen? They was needing help from God, and they got together and prayed. And then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Amen? But now look what it says. He goes in before the king, and he goes to Arioch, he tells him he's got it. And the keeper of these, he goes in and says, I have found a man, verse 25, of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered, said unto Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, he said, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, soothsayers, show unto the king? But I like this right here. I underline it in green, my Bible. Verse 28 says, but there is a God in heaven. Amen? He said, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy vision, thy head are these. He goes through and he tells them the dream, tells them the interpretation, and he begins to tell the interpretation. And in verse 37, he said, thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Amen? So Daniel preaches the word to King Nebuchadnezzar. He tells him the things, praise God, that's going to take place, the things that will transpire in his kingdom. And he begins to bless the Lord and again give him praise. And then the king comes, and he comes over to verse 44, and he said, In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of out of thy hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God, big G God, shall make hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Amen. God has made a promise. And Daniel said, God will keep his promise. Praise God. Said he showed unto King Nebuchadnezzar. Then the King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel, commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Amen? So Daniel preached him the gospel. God gave. He pointed him to the God of heaven. He pointed him to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, there's a king coming up that's going to be a king of kings. And Nebuchadnezzar reared up. And he said, you know what? I know what you're talking about. Amen? But I said all that to say this. God, when God promises something, God will keep His promise. Years, centuries before this ever happened, God was already had a plan. Amen? He said, this will come to pass. So when we look over here in Ezra chapter 1, and we see the Bible says, now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout the kingdom. Do you suppose that God Almighty stirred in his heart and God carried that word from person to person, from servant to soldier to person, praise God, into the household of Cyrus, king of Persia. And he said, listen, this is what God has said must come to pass. Amen. Maybe from a little old boy here, you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what happened. This is what's been told down through the century. This is what has to come to pass. So Cyrus grew up and he said, the Lord has told me. He said, somebody needs to go up to Jerusalem. He said, who will go? Who's there? He said, need to go up, need to build a church, need to build a sanctuary, need to put a foundation. He said, who'll go? And the Bible tells you, go on studying. I'm not going to go all through that. I had a whole much more that we could look at it. Boy, the Lord just loaded me up today. I was sitting down in the basement reading this, studying this this morning. Boy, God just, a little while that I had, and I was waiting on to meet somebody up here, and boy, he just overflowed my cart. But he said, you know what? He said, get them up. And if you'll read and study, if you'll look over in chapter 2, the Bible says there's about 50,000 people. Out of those hundreds of thousands, about 50,000 people stepped up and they said, sir, we'll go. Amen. He said, sir, we'll go. Amen. And they, some of them was people, but some of them was priests and some of them was Levites. But it amazed me when I got over to chapter 8. Just go over to chapter 8 right quick. I'm not going to try to preach all this night. Maybe we'll get it another day. They get over to chapter 8. It talks about all those companions that's going with Ezra. Amen. Y'all remember Cyrus had done sent them out. I mean, he had done got the means. And he sent these people out. And he told them, he said, you people that ain't going, you people that can't go, for a few people that won't go, he said, I want you to get together, gather some stuff. Amen. So that you can bring it to them so they'll have things enough for the journey to sustain them. And Ezra gets over there and he gets to verse 15, chapter 8. And he said, I gathered them together to the river that runneth to Ahava. Now, Ahava is something, you can get that. They actually have a product in Israel called Ahava. It's a hand cream. It's excellent stuff. It comes out of the Dead Sea, the minerals of the Dead Sea. And you get that stuff, rub it on your hands, it'll make them like brand new. I mean, it's amazing. Amen. But he said, run unto Ahava, and there abode we in tents 3 days. He said, now watch this. He said, I viewed the people and the priests and found there none of the sons of Levi. And I got to study this. I said, what happened? Amen. It talks about in chapter 2 that they was 70 of them that was loaded up. Praise God, they were prepped. They were ready to go. We get here and he looks around, he looks at all the people, and there's the priests and the singers. But he said, where's the Levites? Those are the ones that ministered to the priest. Those ones that was in charge of the singing. Those are the ones that was the keepers of the doors. Amen. And he looks around and they're not there. But he says he sent for Eleazar. And Eleazar comes in, next thing you know, he said they have these Levites, 220, and they come and they bring the Levites. They come to take care, to do the things that need to be done in the house of God. But I thought these Levites, they must be Baptist. Amen. They started out with him, and when he got part way, stopped the rest and just offer up an offering to the Lord. Pray God, look around, and they're nowhere around. Amen. Where'd they go? Amen. They must be Baptist. I thought to myself, I said, these must be Baptist. But when God makes a promise, God will send folks along, praise God. Next thing you know, people filled in. They filled up the gap. They made up the hedge. Praise God. And Ezra pressed on. And the Bible said, Nehemiah said, Ezra was a ready scribe. Amen. He is ready to write her down. He's ready to pin her down. He was ready to give them the Word of God so that they might have help. Amen. But when we see, when God promises, we see for over 200 years before this ever come to pass, God was already making promises. But in closing, I want to say this. 2,000 years ago, a Savior made us a promise who was Christ the Lord. Amen. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? Praise God. What are you saying, preacher? I said, when God makes you a promise, amen, God showed us in His Word, praise God, God will keep His promise. Amen? Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And He said, I'll come and get you, receiving myself, that where I am there you may be also. He said, hey, listen. He said, I've got a place. I've prepared you a place, and I'm coming again. Listen, this thing's just about to wind up. The final films are running. As the old Jewish boy told me over in Israel, he said, the movie's done been played. The credits have been run. Hey, man, he told me, we're at the end of that tape where it's running off. There's just a bunch of little squiggly lines on it right before it runs off the reel and goes into free spin. Amen. Now, a Jewish boy told me, he was educated in the United States, but he says, as a Jew, he said, we believe that that's where we're at just before it runs off the reel. Amen. Why? Because Jesus is coming and I'm a going. I'm going to go be with Him. Praise His holy name.